Springbok Sunday Play. Authentic cases from the files of Leonard Keeler, pioneer of the lie detector in criminology. In these stories, based on real-life incidents, names have been changed for obvious reasons. Springbok Sunday Play presents The Hidden Truth. And now our story for this evening.
Most of us who spend our lives trying to penetrate the darkness of crime inevitably find ourselves surrounded by somber shadows that defy the strongest light of knowledge. Mysterious shadows that bear such forbidding titles as necromancy, hypnotism, and sorcery. Not so long ago, I found myself in the very middle of such shadows and was forced to pit my years of study in forensic psychology and the cold, scientific, calculating mind of a lie detector against those self-same components of evil that have baffled science for centuries. Necromancy. Hypnotism. Sorcery. A large upstairs bedroom in a rambling suburban home was filled with an eerie blue haze. A wispy column of smoke was rising from an incense burner placed on a table beside the crippled, bedridden form of Mrs. Alicia Struthers. Years before, Alicia had suffered a broken back. Only a tiny cord of her spinal column kept her brain functioning and her life intact. But lying there, year after year, took great toll on her brain. It functioned in a weird, mysterious manner.
Virginia! Virginia, I want you. What is it, Aunt Alicia?
Come here, Virginia.
Oh, the air's terrible in here, Aunt Alicia. I don't see how I can breathe with that incense burning all the time.
As long as I keep it burning, nothing evil can touch me. It keeps them away. They don't dare come near me.
Oh, here. You're all uncovered. Let me pull up your blanket.
Virginia?
Yes? I've been talking with him again.
Oh, you're left alone too much, that's all. I'll have to talk to the nurse and insist that he spends more time with you.
It isn't good for you to be left alone imagining.
I was not imagining, Virginia. I was not imagining.
But it's impossible. Deep down in your own heart, you know you can't really talk with someone. Someone who's dead. You've been dead for 15 years.
Don't turn your eyes away. Look at me.
This was a terribly interesting book, Aunt Alicia. Remember? The last chapter we read yesterday told us...
Look at me!
Don't, Aunt Alicia. Please don't.
I talked with him, Virginia. Do you hear me? I talked with him.
Yes. You talked with him.
He decided that this is to be his day.
No.
Don't turn your eyes away. Keep looking at me.
Yes, Aunt Alicia.
Did you understand what I said? We decided that this is to be the day.
All right. This is to be the day.
Before this night is over, she is going to die, Virginia.
Oh, but you can't make a person die just by conjuring up some ridiculous curse.
Look at me! Please, looking at me!
Oh, dear. Yes, Aunt Alicia. You talked with him and decided that this is the day she is going to die.
Deborah Garrett's beautiful, Virginia. I could have been beautiful if she hadn't crippled me for life. She's happily married to someone she loves.
I could have been happily married to someone I loved.
She hasn't killed him.
But it was an accident. Accidents happen all the time. She didn't deliberately.
She did.
15 years ago, she deliberately killed him and condemned me to a life worse than death.
All right, swell party.
Certainly was. We had a wonderful time. Good night.
Good night. Gosh, Alicia, didn't think we'd ever get away. I'd rather be alone with you than all the rest of the people in the world.
Oh, I was just going to say the same thing about you, Fred. You must have read my mind.
Shall we walk or hunt for a cab?
Which would you prefer?
Let's walk. I have some things to say to you that I'd hate to share with a cab driver.
I was hoping you'd decide to walk. Is there an excuse to be with you that much longer?
You little tempest. I've a good mind to abduct you and never take you home again.
I dare you.
I promise not to struggle.
Hey, wait for me.
Uh-oh, dropped again.
We have a wrench, wouldn't you know?
You wouldn't run out on a lady in distress, would you?
Look, Deborah, it's not our fault that you came to the party alone.
Well, is it my fault that Jim had to work until midnight?
Well, come on, Debbie. We'll walk you as far as your place.
What?
Oh, I should say not. I have Jim's car, and we're all going to pick him up at work and go down to the Wayside Inn.
Doesn't it occur to you that Fred and I might want to be alone?
Look, there's plenty of time for that. Jim made me promise to bring you along, or he wouldn't let me drive.
Fred, you think we ought to?
I don't think we have much choice, Alicia. Where'd you park, Debbie?
Oops! Oh, for goodness sake, Deborah. Will you look where you're going? You almost hit that milk truck.
You mind your own business, Alicia. I'll do the driving, if you please.
Hey, don't speed up now, Debbie. You're coming to a curve. Slow down or you'll never make it.
Look out for that plane!
He said she had too much to drink and shouldn't have been driving, but she wasn't even scratched. Yes, she deliberately killed Fred. Look what she's done to me.
After all these years, Aunt Alicia, can't you forget? Perhaps if you try not to think about it.
We've talked it over for a long while, Fred and I. You watched her happiness when she married Jimmy Garrett. You watched her climb the social ladder, become the most popular woman in her community. She's gone far enough, Virginia. Look at me!
I can't.
At least you can and you will. That's the bottle, Virginia. Bottle in my dressing table.
Aunt Alicia, do you realize
bottle,
what...
please.
Yes. Yes, Aunt Alicia. I don't know what I would have done if you hadn't come to stay with me.
You're like my own daughter, Virginia.
Please, this is asking too much.
Lean over me. Look deeply into my eyes. Look more deeply than you've ever looked before.
Yes. Yes, Aunt Alicia.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, what can I do for you?
Are you the officer in charge of this police station?
I am, Sergeant Disco, lady. What's your complaint?
I want you to put me in jail.
In jail? What for? Now, what'd you get yourself into, kid?
Nothing. I haven't done anything yet. But I have no control over myself. I'm liable to do something terrible and not realize it until too late.
Now, just a minute. Come here, kid.
I'm serious, Sergeant. If I'm not put somewhere safe so I can't get away, I don't know what I might do.
Come here.
You don't believe me?
You been drinking some?
No. No, you don't understand, Sergeant. I'm not drunk.
Hey, what's that stuff I smell?
There's nothing on my breath. I haven't been drinking. It's something else. Oh, please, lock me up for my sake and for someone else's.
But I gotta make a charge against you. Somebody's got to make a complaint. If you're an alcoholic, you go into the tank. If you're a psycho, you go into the ward. If you're a hothead, you get turned out to narcotics. If you're a disco,
you
just get...
I don't care what you call me. Please put me behind bars.
Oh, wait a minute. I think I get it.
What?
You got a boyfriend, haven't you?
No, I haven't had time
to... run in with him, haven't you?
No.
Look, I can see through your game, sister. Now get out of here and quit wasting my time. Go on.
You're going to make me do something desperate, Sergeant.
Hey, put down that bottle.
Now maybe you'll do something.
Yeah. You're right, sister. Now I gotta do something. Name, please.
Virginia Stratus.
Virginia. How do you spell that last name?
S-T-R-U-T-H-E-R-S.
Okay. Address?
15 Crescent Drive.
Age?
21.
Date of birth?
January.
Hold it a minute. Yes, please, Shane Driscoll. Huh? How long ago? What's that name? Hold it. Get to me again. Address? Okay. We'll get right under it. Jerry, Driscoll, get in here and book a dame for busting out front window, will you? Huh? I don't know. Figure the category out for yourself. I'm going to get the coroner's office rolling on a death investigation. Okay, make it fast. Now, just sit down and make yourself at home, Virginia.
I'll wait.
Doc? Driscoll, Doc. 23 Oak Drive. Woman found dead. Deborah Garrett. Yeah. DA's office wants an investigation. Okay, Doc.
Dad.
We'll return you to our Sunday play in just a moment. And now the second half of tonight's Sunday play.
As young Virginia Struthers was placed behind bars on a charge of damaging public property, and as a crippled Aunt Alicia lay in her incense-laden bedroom in her big house on Crescent Drive, a dramatic scene was being enacted a few blocks away. Dr. Shelley of the coroner's office was standing at the foot of the stairs in the Garrett home, leaning over the body of Deborah Garrett. With him was Willard Overmeyer, an associate of mine at the crime laboratories.
No sign of any violence, eh, Shelley?
Not at first glance. Looks like a tumble on the stairs. Broken neck.
Mm-hmm. Was she home alone?
Maid was upstairs asleep. Didn't hear anything.
What about her husband?
Out of town. Been notified. And coming in by plane.
Yeah, tough break.
Neck and head extremely loose. Rigor mortis set in over the rest of the body. A pretty sure indication of a broken neck.
Where was she?
Oh, Lord.
All right, get back. Get back, please.
You, Mr. Garrett?
Yeah. How did it happen?
Pretty sure it's a broken neck. Looks like your wife tripped coming downstairs, Mr. Garrett.
That's a lie. Those letters Alicia Struthers wrote.
The letters?
For years she's been pestering us with those weird letters. One came last week and said that Debbie would die today.
What's that?
Who is Alicia Struthers, Mr. Garrett?
Used to be a friend of ours about 15 years ago. She was crippled in an accident. The man she was engaged to died. She always blamed Debbie. Started writing letters, threatening letters in the past year or two. I think her mind must have become affected.
You said something about a letter that came last week.
Yes, it gave today's date as the date of Debbie's death. Oh, I suppose it's just coincidence. I'm being foolish, I guess. Alicia hasn't been out of her bed in 15 years.
Just the same, Mr. Garrett. In view of those threatening letters, I think Dr. Shelley had better perform an autopsy on your wife before we can permit this to go on the record as accidental death.
Willard Overmeyer and I were both present at Shelley's autopsy. The doctor made a slight incision down the median line in the back of the neck. This exposed one or two of the cervical vertebrae, and Dr. Shelley noted that a finger could be inserted in the spinous process when the head was bent forward.
Well, this is a pretty good indication that the neck is broken, gentlemen.
Then Overmeyer noticed a discoloration on Deborah Garrett's face. Shelley examined it closely.
Probably at birth, Mark. We'll have to check that with her husband.
I didn't notice that, Mark, when we first found the body, did you, Shelley?
Frankly, I didn't. But then I was so convinced that the neck was broken.
Well, I'm not at all convinced. I think we'd better go into this a lot more thoroughly than that small incision, shall we?
Further examination revealed that Deborah Garrett's neck had not been broken. As a matter of fact, it hadn't even been dislocated. There were no bruises on the body to indicate a fall. The discoloration on the face turned dark red. Microchemical analysis came up with the discovery the dark red mark was caused by a burn. A burn produced by an application of strong ammonia. Mrs. Struthers, Mr. Overeyer and I have been assigned to question you relative to your threats against the life of Deborah Garrett.
We named the day. We named the very day.
We? Please explain, Mrs. Struthers.
I talked with him about it. She killed him and she crippled me. We decided it was only just that she should die.
Yes. I wonder if you'd object to being examined by Dr. Shelley.
You think I left my bed, don't you? Don't you?
We didn't say that, Mrs. Struthers, but in view of your threatening letters, you can readily understand.
I understand well enough. Bring in your Dr. Shelley or any other doctor. They'll tell you that Deborah Garrett left me only a single cord to hold my spine together. They'll tell you that no human being in my condition can stand up and live. They'll tell you.
I'm quite sure they will. Then I take it you have no objections to being examined.
None whatsoever.
Speaking of examinations, Mrs. Struthers, would you be willing to take a lie detector test relative to any knowledge you might have about Deborah Garrett's death?
A lie detector test? Are you trying to kill me? Are you trying to subject a helpless cripple to scientific torture?
There's no torture associated with it, I assure you. It's just a simple recording of your emotional reactions to certain questions.
I have none of it. No one can blame me for refusing in the condition I'm in.
Your refusal can mean only one thing, Mrs. Struthers.
I don't care what it means.
It means that you're afraid of the polygraph. You're afraid because it'll reveal the fact you know more about this murder than you've told us. Do you expect us to believe that Deborah Garrett's death was caused by a curse you placed on her from a distance?
There's no crime in your court that comes under that heading, is there, Mr. Keeler? You can't convict anyone for killing with a curse, can you?
That would be up to a jury to decide, Mrs. Struthers. By the way, I understand you have a niece.
What about her?
Where is she?
Isn't that a foolish question? You expect me to get up out of this bed and go tracing around after her?
Oh, yes?
You ready for me?
Oh, yes, yes. Come in, Doctor. Mrs. Struthers has consented to your examination.
It won't take him long to find out what Deborah Garrett did to me, if he's any kind of a doctor at all.
By the way, Mr. Keeler, there's a police sergeant outside who'd like to talk with you.
Uh-huh. Oh, thanks.
Mr. Keeler?
Oh, yes, Sergeant?
I'm Driscoll over the 5th Precinct. Got a young kid over there named Virginia Struthers. Says she lives at this address.
Well, that's interesting. What charge?
Disorderly conduct. But maybe you can get her on something else.
Huh? Well, what have you got?
And she came in late last night and acted like a dipso. I smelled a breath, but nothing there. I caught a whiff of something on her clothes, though. Didn't recognize it until I read the papers this morning about them ammonia burns on the Garrett body.
That's why I wanted to be locked up, Mr. Keeler. I was afraid I'd do it. But I swear I didn't do it.
Virginia, are you trying to make me believe that your aunt actually had you hypnotized?
I know it sounds fantastic, Mr. Keeler. I love my aunt, and I've always felt sorry for her. I wanted to do everything I could for her, and I guess I was an easy subject for her to control with her mind.
You insist that you didn't go near the Garrett home last night?
I didn't. I started to, but I kept fighting my aunt's will. I threw the bottle of ammonia away and...
Away? Where?
I don't know. I was walking around in a daze. Finally, I decided to come here to the police station. I knew I couldn't commit a murder here.
Of course, you know, Virginia, that's an old game.
I beg your pardon?
Well, many people have committed major crimes, then immediately committed a small one, so they'd be locked up and overlooked in the hunt for the perpetrator of the big one.
I didn't do any such thing. I swear I didn't.
You didn't hold a rag soaked in ammonia across Deborah Garrett's nose and mouth until she was dead?
No. I couldn't.
Are you willing to take a lie detector test about that murder?
Yes. I'll do anything to prove to you that I didn't do it. I'll do anything.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Keeler.
I thought you might be interested in Dr. Shelley's report, Mrs. Struthers.
I'm not a bit interested in Dr. Shelley's report.
He says that you couldn't have gone to the Garrett home. One step out of bed would be suicide.
You think that's news to me? Do you think you're telling me anything that I don't know? I've been examined by some of the best doctors in the country. They all say the same thing.
He also tells me you have a remarkable mind and a very strong will, Mrs. Struthers.
Is there any law against that?
Not unless you used your unusual powers to force someone into a crime. That would make you an accomplice, wouldn't it?
My niece. What have you done with my niece?
I've just given Virginia a polygraph deception test, Mrs. Struthers.
No. No, she had nothing to do with it. I can't let her be held responsible. It was all my will.
I wanted revenge on Deborah Garrett more than anything else in the world. I couldn't do it myself, so I practiced hypnotism on Virginia. I gave her the ammonia and false trust.
I'm afraid you didn't practice your hypnotism long enough.
What?
Virginia ran a clear test on the polygraph. She managed to break your, shall we say, sorcerer's spell and give herself over to the custody of the police.
But that ammonia. The paper said that Deborah's death was caused
by... It was. Fragments of an ammonia bottle were found in the Oak Drive sewer. They contained fingerprints of the murderer, Mrs. Struthers.
But if Virginia broke my will and didn't go to the Garrett home...
The small bottle she carried was found behind a hedge with the contents intact.
But I
don't know just what charge they might bring against you, Mrs. Struthers. Actually, your threatening letters to Deborah Garrett brought about her murder.
I told her. I wrote and told her the very day she would die.
I know. And you mentioned how she would die. That gave her husband an idea, Mrs. Struthers.
Jim Garrett?
Yes, Jim Garrett. Before he left town on his last business trip, he took out a double indemnity policy on Deborah's life. He engaged a hired killer to handle the ammonia. A well-known killer whose fingerprints were found on the broken fragments in the sewer. It looked like a cinch to incriminate you because of those threatening letters.
You have a confession from Jim?
Yes. He was given a lie detector test immediately following Virginia's. His blood pressure, his pulse rate, his breathing rate, his skin resistance didn't confirm his airtight alibi. He found that there's no hiding from his own conscience, Mrs. Struthers. And Jim Garrett's conscience was revealed by the lie detector for all the world to see.
We can rest now, Fred. It was divine justice.
I can't agree with you, Mrs. Struthers. No justice can ever be achieved by crime. Were it not for hate, greed, and revenge in the human mind, no law enforcement officers would be a part of our humanity. And no lie detector would ever be necessary. You have a brilliant mind and a strong will, Mrs. Struthers. Maybe it isn't too late to turn them both in the right direction.
Dramatized stories on the use of the Keeler polygraph, the lie detector, are the stories we bring you each week at this time in Springbok Sunday Play.